Yeah, it's 13 minutes past the hour of 6. You are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's the time of the early morning that we look at a face of business, trade, economics, and politics. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station, Eagle FM Namibia. And like any other day, this is the platform that we engage you and we give you right and up-to-date content. And before we look at that, we always like indicating to you that, you know, every day that you're waking up, focus on the game and also understand that there is a lot of things happening. And one thing that you don't want to do, and we are taught by African upbringing to say you don't need to celebrate people's failure. Do not just wake up and wait for people to fail so that you can celebrate. That is the greatest case that you can take over yourself. And, you know, let us make sure that we don't take pleasure of, you know, people's fall down. And understand that the nature of life, too, is about up and down. There are those who cannot wait for people to go down. And that should not be in our DNA. We must always think about positivity and also wish good of others so that we also get what is right, because how do you want to have luck in life if you are waiting for your friend to go down, or you are waiting for somebody, you know, to go down? That should not give you pleasure, but you must really avoid that, because in this morning, we must drive a positive agenda. You must not wait for a certain politician to go down, certain business person to go down, certain individual that is shining to be dull. That should be the last thing you have to think about another person, because in this life, we must be driven by positivity. You know that we don't have enough time. We do not have enough time, particularly to reach you know, national developmental agendas. Because if you look at the calendar, it's already the 27th of April, and we are still discussing. We are still thinking about what needs to be done. We are still wishing and dreaming. And while there are also those who have already started, and let us be of those, you know, who are doing something positive. As I indicated, from the hour of 6:30, that is 13 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Ricky Simasiku, who is a lecturer of international relations, and is a professional within the area of international relations and also security studies, particularly when you are going to look at the situation of terrorism in Africa. Because one of the things which is giving Africa headache, Africa high blood pressure, is terrorism, is jihadist militia, is Boko Haram, is M23 too. And people are asking a question to say, who is arming these people? And what are the measures in place, particularly from African regional institutions and also Africa continental institutions such as African Union, especially when it comes to putting on measures, putting on counter-terrorism measures, and also making sure that the Africa that you want is prosperous, is safe, and is easy to do business. And who is benefiting from this, you know, terrorism? Which weapons are they using? Who are they buying from? And also, what is the relationship between terrorism and also economy of the region? And what can be done, particularly when it comes to protection of you know, citizens? If you want to see that terrorism is a main threat, look at the situation. Look at what happened, especially when South Africa has put its soldiers in DRC, particularly that time of and UN peacekeeping. We'll be able to see that they were under fire from M23. And if you have one of the strongest economy, you can be put down, especially by M23. We understand that these are not your ordinary terrorists. These are not your ordinary bandits. And nowadays, with advancement of technology, they can acquire anything. If you look at Sudan, find a militia organization using drones and attacking military, you know, installations. And what happened the weekend, especially in Mali. It's a very scary thing. It's a very scary thing, especially when rebels nowadays, they are not scared anymore. They can attack a military base, and therefore they also managed to kill the defense minister, although the government of Mali, with the assistance of a Russian group. Especially, it's not called Wagner anymore. It's a different name, but with assistance of Russia. They managed to take control of the country. But the question is, for how long? And if you want to see that terrorism is a very dangerous thing, look at Burkina Faso. You know, everybody was praising Ibrahim Traore. And he really came up with new policies, but understand that he's still struggling to put the country in order. Know that there are also those who want him down. And we must be able to discuss these issues and find ways on protecting our economy, so protecting the territory. If you look at SADC last year, the world was shocked when the head of SADC used to run away from his own country due to internal conflict. And the question is always to say, how can the security of Africa being, boosted? And what is the necessity of making sure that the security of Africa is prioritized so that we can deal with other things such as economic development? Because it will not help anything if you have good economic policies, but your defense is underfunded, using old equipment, and has weak measures in terms of counterterrorism. That is why it's quite necessary to look at this issue, because it's directly linked to business, it's directly linked to, the safety, and also the economy of Africa. And while we are waiting for Rick Simasiku to engage us in this aspect, also understand that what happened in the weekend in USA was also, one of the attempts to harm officials, senior officials in government, including the president. But the security of the US has responded within seconds. You'll be able to see that the White House correspondent, Galadina, was disrupted, where you also be able to see, if you look on social media platform, either it's Eagle FM, either it's CNN, either it's other international media, you'll be able to see videos and footage of security responding to a man, just a 31-year-old guy. It's a young man who went through the security checkup and was firing toward the Gardena where the VIPs were. And security was able to respond. And you also see that, citizen number one and number two, they have to be rescued first before ordinary people. And it's interesting to see that what is happening. But nobody should wish any person's harm, because, it's quite important to make sure that you protect your president, protect your vice president before anybody else. And there's a lot of things that that we see that people are trained very well to coordinate and respond under very stressful condition. Because if the room is full of, for example, 2,000 people, and you have to identify very fast who is your enemy and who is not your enemy, you must be a highly trained individual. Because if it was in other country, people would end up shooting everybody just to protect one person. But in this aspect, you'll be able really to see that people are highly trained to identify the problem among, the citizens, who is a good guy, and what they also call the bad guy. It's quite important to look into that aspect. While we are there, understand that the negotiations are still going on through intermediaries between Iran and also the USA. And it looks like USA is no more interested in war. No more interested in war. but negotiations are still going on. Negotiations are still ongoing, looking at that aspect. And yeah, while we are there, I understand that today, like any other Monday, the Villager newspaper is out. And after the conversation with Rick Simasiku, we'll be able also to give you the content of what is in the Villager newspaper, especially when it comes to economic affairs. It's coming to politics, it's coming to trade and entrepreneurship. India. And looking in the context of Namibia, we have seen that the Swapo Party of Namibia was celebrating the birthday of Swapo. She's 66 years old. And we have seen different officials, senior officials, dancing and also celebrating the birthday of Swapo Party of Namibia. And you also be able to see, the speech of the president, looking at Namibian development and also starting also to looking at Namibia to say, in terms of party leadership, people must be united. They must not be, divided. But you also see that the politics of Southern African political parties, particularly those coming from the liberation movement, you'll be able also to see that if you compare with ANC, if you compare with ZANU-PF in Zimbabwe, if you compare with Frelimo, if you compare with Impala of Angola, so be able to see that when the years are going, so see that there is always an aspect of leadership contestation, particularly intensifying, where you see the generation of leadership also trying to make sure that they maintain power. But you also see that every political party, particularly post independence, you also see generational contestation from the first generation, the second generation, and also the young people. But let us look at a short commercial break. Then from there, we'll be able to get the conversation with Ricky Simasiko and continue with the conversation. And remember, you have your democratic right and freedom of expression to give your opinion and views. 083-288-401, 083-288-401. As we are always indicating that this is a conversational program. It's a program that we conversate, we bring about real conversation. That's why we always make sure that your opinion matters.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle
staff.
FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my candidature menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna.
Don't spend all your hard earned money. Get quality food at USAFE. 4 100-gram clover flavored daily snacks. Just 20 Namibian dollars for two. That's 8 100-gram cups. 2 liters Koi soft drinks. Only 12.99 Namibian dollars each. 600 grams Hazeldine mixed fruit jam. 29.99 Namibian dollars. Knosso. Just 25 Namibian dollars for 5 packets. Save 10 Namibian dollars. 700 grams Nola mayonnaise. 39.99 Namibian dollars. USAFE. Where good food costs less.
Pumboku karaya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito da njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashia kenge.
Yeah, we are moving forward with the early morning scoop. As I indicated that today we are speaking about security. Because security is part of the economy. I'm joined by the lecturer of international relations and politics. He's also a specialist in the area of security studies, especially to give us an overview of what's happening in the Sahel region and also how we can also protect ourselves and bring about the discussion of security into the economy. Ricky Semasiku, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Good morning, and how are you?
Morning for the invitation, and good morning to the listeners.
Yes, let us look at the situation in Mali. I understand you are from that background of international relations and the security too. I want us to connect this situation to the economy, but before we go to that context. Maybe just to get an overview of what has happened, especially when the all-out war was launched in the weekend by terrorists to the Malian government. And then we can also look at the context. What is your general understanding, particularly in the Sahel region, on that context?
Well, the Sahel region is quite... large, if that's the right term.
Yeah.
It has different tribal groups.
Yeah.
And historical grievances, especially if you look at the group called the Tuareg.
Mm-hmm.
It's a group or a tribal group that lives mostly in Mali, Algeria, Libya, and Niger. So this group, of course, has been fighting for rights to be included in the political sphere of these countries.
Yeah.
Particularly so in Mali.
Mm.
But at the same time, you have jihadi groups that operate around the region, and jihadi groups. Have mixed ideologies, if you like, reasons for waging war or causing instability is quite different from what the Tuareg want.
Mm-hmm.
The jihadi groups or Islamists,
mm-hmm,
wish the Islamic states. So it's a number of reasons as to why this instability goes on. But as I said, the Tuareg Italy want an end to discrimination, exclusion from social, economic, and political life of the country in which it is, especially in Mali.
Yeah. Before we look at the situation again, let's somebody may want to ask, because in the past 5 years we have seen people, even the people in Africa, were celebrating. They call it the liberation of the Sahel. You see countries such as It's Mali, it's Niger, it's Burkina Faso. Captain Ibrahim Traore became even an African hero to say security has come. Now, somebody may want to ask, how is the security situation currently in Sahel region? Is it better off beforehand or better off after this military junta took over government?
Okay, when you say before and after, I would like to put a baseline, because so one of the things I've done is study the French military intervention in the the Sahel. So what triggered the French military intervention in 2013 was the coup or the violence in Mali. And then the French intervened in 2013 with an operation called Operation Serval. It was an operation to save the Malian government from collapse, as the Tuareg and these jihadi groups were marching on to the capital city to take over government. At the same time, there's always violence and instability in the Sahel, particularly the countries of Mali, Burkina Faso, Chad, and Niger, including. So, with the increasing violence, the French launched what was called the G5 Sahel Joint Force. It was called it was put into a military intervention called Operation Barkhane. But now in 2020, I think that was in 2020 rather. In 2021, the Malian military took over power, in a few months. And this frustrated the French. And then in 2022, they withdrew. And you can see now it was a bit difficult to coordinate this security arrangement between the French and its former colonies, but the Sahel, the G5 Sahel, and then what happened again was the coup in Mali, in Niger in 2023, and then previously there was a coup in Burkina Faso. So all these are insecurities. And so to answer your question, we would say insecurities has actually, security has actually deteriorated from 2020. And it's all because of weak governance, the rise in jihadi activities, and so on. So I would say insecurity has escalated, and you can also look at what has happened in the past, over the past weekend. The Malian defense minister was killed. Raids on military bases and his compound, and also they say the president's residence he was around the same area or close to the same area, but we don't know what has happened, whether he was not attacked like
now maybe while we are there, we have seen the replacement of French military agreements, what's called military cooperation with the Russians, particularly siding with the Sahel region. Now what is so difficult? Are they not the 100% as the French were there, or is a different arrangement compared to how it has been?
With the Wagner group, the former group, which has been rebranded now, it's not considered a full arm of the Russian government.
It's private sector.
Military organization. So, therefore, I would agree to say it will be as effective as a government's full involvement.
Mm-hmm.
And we can say when the French were in the Sahel, the situation had somehow stabilized with attacks here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But since the French withdrew, and especially after the recurring coup d'etat, the situation has actually worsened, because now you have more attacks. You have the government, though they pledge to fight terror, and they have been accusing former governments of not stopping the insecurity. They have not much in themselves at the moment, because they have had no support from major Western donors. And if you look at the former Wagner group, it has not put, I would say, all its force. It has been in small numbers, protecting small or rather military military installations at certain institutions as per agreements with those governments. But nevertheless, this has not stopped attacks. As I have mentioned earlier, we have a number of cases, including the Wagner groups, who have been killed. They have been attacked by ISIS allied militias in the region.
Yes, let us look at external force. Let us look at also capacity of the terrorist or militia. Those years we had a different picture of terrorists, to say these are just bandits, they are not well equipped. Some of them guerrillas. But currently you see a new development of highly advanced terrorists. We see what happened in DRC, M23 using drones. You look at Sudan, people are using drones, and they are even better equipped. Even when you are looking at their military, they are better equipped than some of the government. And the question that people are asking is to say, are these... there are also views from analysts which are indicating that no, there are also some external support to this terrorist to gain economic advantage. What is your view in that aspect, particularly at the capacity? Because if you have to see a terrorist confronting military, state military on the one-on-one battle, and that they withdraw, understand that this is bigger than what we used to think and see those years.
Yeah, well, these countries, or rather, let me put it this way to say, these militia groups that are fighting state in these areas, they have external support, as you have mentioned. If we look at, for instance, Sudan. Sudan is also considered to be part of the Sahel due to its, the desert also runs through Sudan. So you have countries such as UAE that are said to be supporting the paramilitary, the rapid forces. And they give them quite sophisticated weapons. Let's not forget, David, one of the core components of these militia groups being sophisticated is the economy they run. They run criminal syndicates. They do illicit activities, sell drugs. They do taxation of people in areas which they control. Therefore, it's also quite easy for them to source weapons from us. And as I have mentioned, the rapid forces of Sudan, they buy weapons from outside, and there's evidence that these weapons have been delivered to them, sophisticated. And also, if you look at Niger and Mali, historically, Tuareg have been considered to have fought in the Libyan war.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They and when they returned from Libya,
they come with a big
mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. When Gaddafi's regime collapsed,
mm-hmm.
these people were embedded into his security structure. Mm-hmm. So when the regime collapsed, all these weapons that they had hands to, they returned with them to Mali, and you can see that's when the Malian conflict intensified. Mm. So you have porous regions here all along Algeria, Mali, Algeria, Niger, Libya, and Chad.
Mm.
So the flow of weapons is somehow unregulated. Then we go to, let's talk about the M23, very interesting subject, if you like.
Yeah.
The M23 are actually supported by Rwanda. It's not a secret.
The United States,
the European Union countries, the United States, with sophisticated intelligence, confirmed that the M23 have received support from the Rwandan government. The Rwandan government, despite being ambiguous, has somehow as well suggested that they are supporting the M23. So we can say external support has fueled this conflict and insecurity, of course, in the region, in different regions.
Mm-hmm. Now let us look at Africa readiness, particularly the AU and the regional bodies, because it's undeniable that this conflict was also spilled to SADC region. We have seen what happened in Mozambique in the past years, just years ago, and we have also seen that it almost caught fire with South Africa when M23 was also bring about trouble. Now, are the regional institutions in Africa equipped to fight back and also protect their own people? Let's look at the African Union. I was discussing with one of my colleagues and say, no, African Union, we are very good at condemning and presenting. Is that the best African Union can do, or there is much on their plate, particularly when it comes to security?
I mean, we shouldn't downplay the role that African Union has played, giving institutional frameworks
to
sub-regional groups such as SADC, and of course with the help of the United Nations Security Council. The AU itself has provided, has offered mediation.
Okay.
Warring factions, they have actually brought fighting groups on the negotiation table. The case of Sudan, for instance, is one of them. But then the whole issue is, if you are fighting a terror group, a terrorist, it's actually very difficult to resolve or to even have these people sit on the table with you. As I've said initially, ideologically, these people, you don't know what they need, right?
Mm.
So, to be honest, I find it to be a situation where the African Union has been, to some extent or to the most extent, been helpful.
Mm-hmm.
It has, the capacity is limited in a sense that even wars that are huge, like the war in Sudan, the African Union cannot act in terms of using mechanisms that are appropriate or proportional to the type of conflict that's being waged. For instance, I'm a person that believes if a conflict is a violent conflict, it should be resolved with violent means as well.
Okay, yes. Okay.
Yes.
Is that the realism?
Okay, I come from the school of realism.
Okay.
And you can't resolve a war of guns with sticks, for instance.
You can't go to a gunfight with a book.
Exactly.
Yeah,
one will listen to you, especially one of the things is unreasonable. In this case, I'm trying to say groups like ISIS groups and some of those that we cannot mention.
Mm.
So what I'm trying to say is I think the AU should capacitate different regions to be able to fight conflict, because in as much as military intervention or conflict has been discouraged, it can be a means to the peaceful resolution of conflict. But you lay the groundwork. All the institutions need to do is to capacitate, is to militarize and form joint operations, what they call interoperability, if I'm saying it well, as well.
Yeah.
Where Africa, in these countries, say SADC, should have standing armies. Take them over years, train together, set up military bases or military installations in hotspots, in conflict hotspots. And I believe with this, we can be able to lay the groundwork, soften the groundwork for sustainable peace.
I think it's a very good point, because so far, when you look at the various, continent apart from Asia, you see that Africa continue to be the only continent with a lot of internal conflicts compared to, if you look at South America, they may have their problems, but not really internal, like civil and, this part of even military. Now, let us look at, I want to contextualize it. The issue of security is not really discussed. When I was just speaking with my colleague now, to say when you look, for example, at in the developed world, you see the director of counterterrorism, the director of intelligence. These are public figures who can give updates and also advise their citizen to say, this is what is happening, this is what needs to be done, this is how citizens should behave to protect themselves. In the context of Africa, we are a bit silent. You don't know that. Maybe it's a work of security. I don't know. Maybe how can we protect ourselves, particularly in the context of Namibia, from such situation? Because we see what happened in Madagascar, and Mozambique. And in many other countries, how can a country with rich natural resources? People speak about we are wealthy, and our resources also, people are eyeing them, and can also cause problems. I don't want us to get there, but how can, from a security point of view, how can a country such as Namibia protect its resources and also protect against those external funded terrorist organizations?
I would say intelligence, of course. They say intelligence wins a war before it starts. I believe Namibia has been doing well in this area. Intelligence with various partners, such as the states. There's a case, I would like to refer you to a case of one gentleman. I think he was from Grootfontein.
Yeah.
He was arrested for planning terrorism. Some of these were warnings which were handed over by the United States years ago. I mean, intelligence, we should increase intelligence cooperation with external partners, our neighboring states such as Angola, Zambia, South Africa and so on.
Mm.
And these also tricks down to early warnings. We should be able to study and do surveillance and analyze activities in which, say, for instance, when certain groups of people are complaining about certain, say, exclusion from the economy. These are things that we do not ignore because people get tired and then they resort to arms and to violence to achieve what they wouldn't achieve through through word of mouth. Another thing that I would like to emphasize on, I know a lot of people disagree with this, but as I've said earlier, I align myself with the school of realism. So in this case, I would say it's high time that the Namibian military acquires sophisticated military equipment and arms itself, especially when we look at our waters, our sea. This is a hotspot in future with the boom in oil as we have been seeing in recent years. We are going to attract terror. We are going to be a geopolitical hotcake, if you like. So it's high time that we acquire modern, sophisticated equipment that can proper surveillance of our seas, stop illicit activities around our oceans, and also drones are very important. I don't know the capacity in that regard.
But, yeah.
I would emphasize that point. Drones to do proper surveillance and all-time surveillance of our seas and also the borders. And lastly, on this case, the issue of porous borders. You have borders along the Angola-Namibia boundary, and then you have Zambia. These, for me, are borders which need attention, serious attention. Because as Africans, we tend to be more humanistic, if you like. From a humanitarian perspective. By Angolan children are passing through the borders. This other person that we do not know passes through the border and so on. I mean, we can be realistic to say these are human beings that take care of them. But let's not forget that there's a security threat that's coming through this. If a child can pass through, how about any other person other intentions? Similar to the border with Zambia, for instance, in the Zambezi region, we've had so many cases in which cattle has been stolen. Go through the town. It's illegal immigrants operating the economy of the Zambezi region. I'll put it straight. And I would like to urge law enforcement authorities. Zambezi region, for instance, is full of illegal migrants. They are running the economy on the street, whether we like it or not. And the point I'm trying to make is these could be people seeking a life in your genuine ways. But if anyone else can pass without checks and balances, that means even terror can be imported through this way.
Without the passport.
So we must be robust about these things. It's not something that we should put under.
I think it's a good thing that you brought it up, because in other countries, even the subject of security studies is much open, so that any people can become researchers and academicians within that area. But when you look at Namibia, it was a bit, looked at to say, no, it's only law enforcement, it's only people within the security arena. But it was supposed to be even civilians, they were supposed to know, especially when it's coming to personal security and other things. I think it's quite something that maybe we should also look into. Just that is from my view.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, Rix Masiku, I cannot thank you enough. Thank you for your time, and also thank you for sharing your insight. And that was valuable. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for your invitation.
All right. Yeah. That is Rikise Masiku, a lecturer of international relations and political science at University of Namibia. And he also studied security and conflict resolution. And also to indicate that when it comes to the economy of the country, you need to make sure that you have sophisticated weapon, because weapons are not there to fight, but also to deter the enemy, to say that don't try me, because I just don't have an AK-47. I also have something that will shock you, because the economy should be protected, because even those who you trust so much to be your trading partner, if they realize that you have a weak link or there is a weakness, then troubles can also come. And it's very important also to look at investment in security, because it will not help anything having a well-established economy when trouble comes, when people get influenced, particularly outside. And jihadist religions is something that is, jihadist groups are some of the most dangerous group, because if they get into your mind, you will think what you are doing is right. But yes, Ricky has stated that maybe I have done very well so far, particularly in detecting problems before they come. And that should be a lesson too from, that perspective. Because if you look at what's happened in Mali, if a terrorist can have confidence of confronting an army at a conventional warfare, you must really be concerned. Because one may also think that the issue of Africa Continental Free Trade Area, even if we want it, it will not be successful if the aspect of silencing of guns is not reached. And when you look at the goals that African Union have set, so see that a lot of them are not yet reached. Look at the silencing of gun. Look at free passport, although some countries have started. You look at elimination of food insecurity. That was by 2025. And I think it's also part of our stories today. The Villager newspaper to say African Union has promised that by last year, it could have eliminated food insecurity. But if you look at the numbers, they are not in thousands. They are still in millions. And people are still depending on the social grant. And imagine it this way: if you just cut the social grant for, and even in Namibia, I'm not saying it must be cut, and get me right, if you just cut it for 1 or 2 months, you will see that the situation become worse, because these are some of the money that really are helping to keep people running, to keep children going to school, and also to make sure that our elders have also have something to eat. But in other countries, you see that poverty has increased. That's why in Africa, we have a lot of works to do. And that's why if you are still sleeping now, know that you are not only betraying your country, you are also betraying the continent of Africa. Because, colleagues, we have a lot of works to do. Either is food production, either is, is manufacturing, either is also decoloniality of the mind. Because we are having a lot of problems, but that does not mean that we are not going to we are not going to solve them, because there's a saying to say, this too shall pass. Whether you are happy, say this too shall pass. If you are unhappy, again, it's the same philosophy. Let us look at a short commercial break, then we can continue with the conversation. And remember that we'll also be able to unpack what is in the paper. And stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 8. You can still engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%. Is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngejefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamoili nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeli, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The eye.
The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and looking at the aspect of South Africa. Stated that South Africa vows crackdown on xenophobic attack after Ghana protest. You know, South Africa branch decisive decision or decisive action against perpetrators of xenophobic violence targeting foreign nationals after Ghana formally protests over the incidents involving its citizens. And you know, stated that Ghana Foreign Affairs Minister Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa summoned South Africa envoy on Thursday, urging immediate intervention to prevent further escalation. And know that, South Africa, there's a xenophobic attack have been seen in the street where the demonstrators and some of the people in South Africa are not happy with foreigners or other Africans in their country, particularly what they call illegal immigrants. And this time, they target the Ghanaian people in South Africa. And we have also seen some videos on social media where people were beaten up, being told on the camera to go to their country. And you also see that the government have responded of South Africa of urging people to stop intimidating intimidating and also violating the constitution. And know that the acting police minister, that is Feroz Kachalia, has indicated that the violence, including the looting and the intimidation, threaten both the rule of law and the country's constitutional principle. And also, you also see, if you look at Dirko, director of International Relations and Cooperation South Africa, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, that is Ronald Ramola, has indicated that such violence does not have place in constitutional democracy in South Africa. And xenophobia targeting the Ghanaian people in South Africa. It's not the first time. There was, I think this is light, there was deadly xenophobic attack. It's between 2008 and 2010 there. It's deadly. Especially that time where there was a lot of our brothers from Zimbabwe and also Mozambique who were in South Africa. And it was deadly those days. And it's not a good thing to do. But the question is also that when we are already doing like this, one of the very interesting questions that somebody may ask is that how is the free movement of people going to be accommodated, particularly in the context of Africa? Because the thing was, let us build institutions, let us accommodate everybody, let us make sure that everybody has a bread to eat at home before we start moving. The same thing with our domestic businesses. Namibia want to enter into businesses, our domestic businesses are entering into agreement with Canadian international companies, with US international companies, with EU international companies, which is not a problem. But the question that you should ask is that, are these businesses uplifted, upgraded to the standard of performing at that level? It's the same thing with citizens. If citizens are hungry, they'll move to where there is a greener pasture. If citizens are not employed, they'll move to where there is a greener pasture. And people end up being discriminated. The same thing, if you look at Namibians in other part of the world, you can. There is always a saying to say there is no better place than home. And there is always, even if you are well off at some place, there is always something that is going to offend you. That is why it's quite necessary to make sure that we deal with our problems at home. We deal with our problems at home before we're going to be discriminated in other countries. And they, believe me, even if the laws protect everybody, there are still those who are going to discriminate you. Because if you look at somebody who can, and we are always complaining too about somebody who can come from another country and do the work that can be done here. But that does not mean that people should turn into violence. But the situation in South Africa, you also see that South Africa is El Dorado. It's a land of gold and honey, regardless of inequality. You know that South Africa is it's a land of gold and honey. It's a land of opportunities too, especially in Africa. That's why there is no African citizen that you are not going to find. There is no African citizen that you are not going to find in South Africa. But know that, African citizens, they are still trying to find a way on how to put bread and butter on the table. So let us look at the short commercial break, then we can come back shortly. Then we'll also look at news, particularly in the continent of Africa. Then we can also look at the Villager newspaper for today, to say if you are reading the Villager newspaper for today, what is that that you are expecting? Let's go to a short commercial break. Then we'll read.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tero ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite ofoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijabo ili nawa Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's 17 minutes past the hour of 7, and we are here until the hour of 8. And let us look at Tanzania. It is stated that Tanzania opposition reject commission report into election violence. And, there was a commission that was appointed by the president to look at the violence of post 2025 elections, post 2025 elections. Understand that after the October elections in in Tanzania 2025, there was a lot of things that which were happening. One of them is, you know, apart from jailing of opposition parties, apart from joining of opposition party leaders, we were also able to see that after elections, which have seen the leader of Chama Pinduzi, that is Tanzanian President, his name is Samia Suluhu Hassan, getting almost 100% of the elections. She got 98% of the votes. There was protest that was cracked down by the security apparatus, and opposition leaders were claiming that people that were killed were over thousands of people. But the recent commission has indicated that at least the commission of inquiry, at least 518 people died in last October election violence. The opposition figures are really against these records, because there are also statements from Western diplomats that are saying estimate is between 1,000 to 2,000 people that were killed, and the majority of these people were the young people that were protesting in the street. But Tanzania has moved on. We're also seeing that I think the president is also trying to fix the country. If you look at the new project which are there, moving from post-election violence also to prosperity. So commission of inquiry. There was also a time that she has apologized to the nation and also indicated that the colleagues, we must move on. Let us stop crucifying one another. We must move on and build our country. And you really see that this is the one thing which is happening. And I think, you know, when you look at AU, we are not blaming AU, but there are also things that are not coming out clearly, because AU is very selective in condemning issues, and very selective and very too diplomatic to that extent that it's even become so painful that it's not reacting to situations which concern the citizens. But when they communicate their intention, is different from how they communicate their response, particularly to violence. Because if you look at what happened, when you look at the preliminary report by African Union Election Observation Mission that was released on the 5th of November 2025, that is also stating urgent constitutional reform and inclusive politics in the United Republic of Tanzania, you'll be able to see that there are a lot of faults which were pointed out, and to say the election was not up to standard. It violated almost every international guideline that is governing elections. But there was never a call for the elections to happen. There was never a call for a re-election to happen. And up to now, maybe they have released it. Up to now, there is still no full election observation mission report, apart from a preliminary report. Maybe they have released it, but I was looking at the website even today. It's not there. And you really see that something is not really right, especially when it's done to those who are in the position of power. But we've also seen that African leaders have reacted differently, especially after that protest. You can just really see that, our leaders are not happy. And political analysts are saying if a leader did not say anything, it doesn't mean that they're happy with what is happening. But you also see that it was really one of the worst situation which have happened in Tanzania. But also the aspect of advising each other to say, if you are not condemning each other in public, just send each other WhatsApp to say, please, mama, what you are doing. Mm-mm. Next time, don't do it. It's not correct. It's giving a bad image, even to gender equality in Africa, because we expected more. But looking at the new projects, let's hope Tanzania will return to how John Pombe Magufuli left it, and it will become a peaceful and a beacon of hope, because that is a Tanganyika that has been spoken about, that help people to liberate, to fight for freedom. It's a Tanganyika that help people to fight for freedom. And still, one of the giants which help African countries to, you know, to have independence, freedom, is Tanzania and Ghana. But looking at that, let's hope, you know, situation will be different moving forward. So let us look at the short commercial break again. Then we can look at what is happening. What is happening, especially especially when it comes to the Villager newspaper.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe odite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa mera hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The eye. The eye. Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And let us look at Democratic Republic of Congo. It was stated that hundreds of Congolese refugees living at Busuma camp in Burundi, Buhumuza province, have voluntarily repatriated to the Democratic Republic of Congo. And you see that people want to go home. See that even if your country is destroyed, there is no better place than home. You also see that peace is returning in DRC. Peace is returning in DRC one by one. You don't know for how long. And a lot of analysts are saying maybe the government have pleased the real owner of conflict. But let's come back shortly after Express Credit.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do.
With Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
Yeah, they stated that 100 of Congolese, refugee that are living in Burundi have decided to come back home. They stated that Busuma in Burundi is the largest refugee camp for people fleeing violence, neighboring Congo. Most of them are from DRC. And they stated that there are more than 66,000 residents that came from the town of Uvira, following its capture by M23 rebels. And now, people, they are trying to come back home. And know that when conflict happen, that's why you also understand that the regional cooperation is very important, because don't only think you are safe in your own country, because you may not be the problem, but you are still going to continue suffering. That's why we must also not discriminate each other. Especially when you look at other countries going through problems. And you also realize that the aspect of Africa to become one is more than, that calling is more than ever. The thing was supposed to happen as of yesterday, because regional cooperation can only be the way. Because whether you are happy or you are not happy with it, you still have to accommodate refugees. That is what international law is saying. Because you need to accept and also respect those who are running away from violence. You need to give them food. You need to make sure that you take care of them. If a pregnant woman is running from a neighboring country, coming to your country, you cannot say go. If children are running away from hunger, from oppression, you cannot say go. Even people that you don't have the same ideological beliefs, if they are running away from oppression. That's why you see a lot of Namibians who enter UK now. They are saying they are being oppressed here. You don't know by who. Enter UK, they are saying because of their gender preferences they are being operated. But that is not really true. You're just putting our country a bad name. They are being oppressed here. They got asylum, they are in UK. But according to international law, you must and you have to accommodate people running away from violence. And know that the conflict in DRC is not only affecting DRC people, but it's also affecting the countries. You know, I like having conversation with people from other countries. You find this, some of these people are very hardworking. Some of these people have qualifications, but due to conflict, and you can also see that they are very traumatized. And if you start speaking about their country, they may think you want to take them back to their country. And people, we must also have a heart, not just to say to accommodate everybody, but we must also have a heart to say what these people have seen in their country can affect them to the rest of their lives. That's why you must tread carefully when you are dealing with foreigners. You don't know why a person left his country. That's why even this one, after being in exile, they are saying they are going back home. Understand that. That is what Africa is going through due to its wealth of natural resources and also to indecisiveness in terms of decisions that are being made, particularly the trade agreements. Because one thing that Tshisekedi have done, I think it's good for his country, Felix Tshisekedi, is to negotiate trade deals that protect his country, and also to get the advanced military equipment, and also make sure that when it's come to economic development, because he was really suffering, he was almost overthrown, he was cornered even at his own palace by the rebels. But I think he's a survivor also. Because for you to be a president of DRC, you must have crocodile skin. You must be very tough. And not only tactical, but strategic too. Because everybody wants your seat, because it's a lucrative position. Regardless of all the chaos, you are commanding the greatest economy. It's like you are commanding unpolished US economy. If you are leading DRC, you are the wealth, you are commanding the wealthiest economy in the world. And you are sitting under, I mean, you are sitting on top of gold, on top of coltan, on top of uranium, on top of petrol, on top of manganese, on top of rare earth undiscovered minerals. And know that everybody wants to take you down. That's why you have to think beyond the obvious. So for you to lead DRC, there was a strong man. And a lot of people, they only know the son. They only know Joseph Kabila. There was a strong man, Laurent Kabila, was commanding factions which did not want to come together. Especially making sure that, you know, things get in order. There was also another strong man, Mobutu Sese Seko. Understand that commanding a strong economy, you must be strong. But you must also think for people, because really, nobody will be party seeing people from the richest country in the world. Because the richest country in the world is not Dubai. It's not Qatar. It's not Iran. It's not Russia. It's Democratic Republic of Congo, particularly for its God-given resources. But over 100 million people, majority of them are under poverty. And there is international companies that are taking out resources every day. And know that even if there is war in Eastern Province of DRC, business is still going on. And understand that the resources of our countries, the resources of the continent, must really be protected. If not, we'll continue to be slave in our own countries. So yeah, before we look at the Villager newspaper, you know, there's something that I'm not getting, especially when it comes to Namibian sport professionals. You know, there's a guy, you know, Joronimus Paulinus. It's a very strong guy within WBC super middleweight. He lost his fight in Denmark. And really something must really be understood. Why Namibian boxers, they dominate the African continent, then they end up losing international fights? Are they scared? They don't have much support. Is it limited training ground? Is it different boxing rings? Or they are just not good when they are fighting outside? Because the last time somebody brought a belt here from international, I think it's not Ambunda. Mabuda won here. I think it's Paros the Hitman. Paros the Hitman brought a very big belt from Japan when he beat Kombori Kombori, and the welcome that he got from international airport really show that he's a man who went to fight. But when you are looking at Namibian boxers, they got belt, but they don't. I still want to see, apart from Hitman Moses and maybe somebody must correct me too. I don't know why this boy is also Junius Jonas. Maybe he's grown now. He also used to beat people at Oribic there. But when you are looking at what's happening to Namibian boxers outside, really something must be investigated. Either it's a support, either it's a technical know-how. or either it's a different ground, they need to train outside, or the boxing that they get here is not up to international standard. Why are we not getting international titles anymore? Are we really unlucky? Because this guy, I had much expectation from Geronimus. He was a very brave fighter. He's really a very brave fighter. But what we see, we are really not happy. Let's get support again, because some of these guys, they end up being demoralized, but let us give them support again. Maybe they will stand up again and fight for those international fights. I was also checking somewhere that Nakathira was also putting his grooves down. But let's see how we can also support our boxers, because really it's not right, it's not correct. Maybe we need those infrastructures of yesterday, particularly promoting our sport facilities. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
I'm okay. Now you see...
Huh? What is your input today?
Input is about today. What is it? Is it about this xenophobic attack in South Africa and what?
Yeah.
We are reacting on a very serious thing, which is like in our borders, this side and the other side there, we are not considering that. And because people change their mind. Sometimes you see, like, if you are flocking in the country, we know permission and then you live there.
Yeah.
And those people change their mind.
Yeah.
Like the society, there are one group of people and then one of them influencing the others. What is happening? Like what is happening in South Africa?
People are saying you are taking their girlfriends also, especially South Africans are complaining. At that time there was a war on Twitter again about the Nigerians to say, our ladies, they don't want us anymore. But that is just an argument. But what really forced, because illegal immigrants, they are pushed by factors. Is there, what is that we are not doing right in our countries too? Because it's not right to see your citizens being beaten up in Nigeria or in South Africa. And this is somebody who maybe is also unskilled, just went there for better opportunities. Maybe you're also not giving our people water at home. What is your view?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like the cost, because poverty is a push factor for people to leave the country. If you let the people, like Namibia, we have higher unemployment rate.
Yeah.
And the people are moving away out of the country. One by one, because of that, they go to look for green pasture in other countries.
Then that
group, it will be accumulated there, and then people, they come up with the concern about those people who are in their country. And that, because if we are doing it like that, we must protect these borders of us.
We must
keep on them, because even in Corona, Corona was, and then people are passing through the borders, out of control, and then everything can happen. Okay. Even even anymore disease from one country to another because of this unprotected border. Yeah, therefore, if we are just relaxing on this, in the future, because this history will be repeating itself, like people are just. This is like this epidemic, like Corona, cholera, people moving freely there in the border with no control.
No, you are making a very important observation, because I was bringing about the same argument to say there was a bit of a panic when there was foot and mouth disease in South Africa. And it says a lot about the way we control our borders too. To say, why you are so scared if you are saying we are protected? That is it's a very important argument that you bring. COVID-19 tested our borders to say we need the stronger control. The thing of even illegal, substances which can pass through any day, and also this aspect of illegal immigrants too. But one thing which I also want to bring about also is the aspect of the argument of South Africans. I'm not supporting any violence. Are saying there is no way we want foreigners to come to our country, but at least let us get skills that we do not have. And that is the argument across the board. Because I cannot go to South Africa and start selling maize in the street. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. If I am an engineer, maybe I'm somebody who can add value to the economy. They are saying we are already suffering. We are the highest unequal country in the world. And this was happening. Just hold on for a while. Just hold on.
Eshwataloko umekwembelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamono we uya kofikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimoshi packet top score instant uyaita kwifindano talishambula lokushuna kofikola mondoma eveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano opone ngo mfindani wakamwe komo iPad aveli bahetatu obota vakafindanwa ilo mano ka voucher ko ipumbi wa fikola yongushu ya dola e vilimwe dana mibia oshipune ngono landoka shako ko KG mwe ele KG dilimbali ko top score instant okujamo fitola keshe moshi Longwashishe, ndeto SMS o shicha, instant. Totumu kombali, oneveli vatatu nombali. Efi afanueli, otali hulmo milongo natunali mwe amaricha, mondoma eveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. E mangono malandula fanu, odo dino kulandurwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibi Mills.
Yeah, just one more point. What do you think need to be done? Apart from giving our people water at home before they go to the neighbor. To stop this thing of illegal immigrants and also xenophobia.
Yeah, we must pay attention on our borders. We must even if the building needs there, we must also take a party to build the borders so that we can control. Yeah, we must put up something which is protecting the border very strong, and then to control everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like that. I see border between me. In Namibia and Angola. Now they are likely to be not even seen. You can even pass through without even seeing that there's a border.
You even forget which country you are in.
Yeah, you find yourself in the other country without realizing that I'm also crossing the border. Yeah, this it will be meaning that we are so very ignorant to very serious things.
And it's very dangerous. We are just speaking about terrorism today, and it's very dangerous if you cannot control what is coming and leaving your house. It's very dangerous because people can use that opportunity to do things which are not right.
Yeah, even to take even the weapon through that.
Everything, even people, human trafficking and all these things.
Exactly.
Tell me something. Why Namibian boxers are always beaten outside the country, particularly in Europe and USA?
Yeah, we must even look to, you see, those people are giving points. People also even discriminate. You can find the discrimination in this sport.
But boxing, if a technical knockout is a decidamus, if you are knocked down, we don't need to. Is that discrimination? Is it the equipment that we are using, or is it the environment, or we are not just yet at that standard? Because it has been a long time that we win outside.
It would be like that because the situation we are at the stage we are standing, or our training also very weak, so on like that. Many things maybe we to look where are we losing and
okay, thank you.
Where we are broken.
Thank you, Ne.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Niri, we must look at that aspect to say every time we go outside, we are knocked down. We can't just continue to be Simon Yamarombo. It's not right. Something must be worked on. And maybe we are overloading. I was listening to Nesta Topias. He was giving a very brilliant story, especially regarding how he made the Namibian champion. Gave a very good story about the hitman Moses, to say it's a very young boy came to him, apparently very disciplined, and always at the gym when he's not there. And he spoke about how he produced champions in Namibia. But I also started to think that we must also diversify and make sure that we have a lot of training academies in Namibia that are not only established but they are funded too, so that we get more champions in Namibia, because Namibia, we are fighters. We sort them out here in Africa, but when you go outside, really, I don't know what happened, because this guy who beat Jeronimus, I was looking at him. I'm not saying I'm beating him in the ring, but I was looking at him, Jacob Bank. I think if it was in the time of Hitman Moses, he's beatable. But let's hope Namibian boxers, they get more training, they are encouraged, and let us also not support people when they are winning. They encourage them to stand up also, and to keep them into shape, because it's devastating. People don't speak about this thing, to say after so much expectation from the nation, we must also support people when they lose. The same way we were supporting Boma and Masiringi when they were running, they must be supported now, even if they are not running, because at one point they still raise our flank out there. So we'll be able to look at the Villager newspaper. If you look on top of the Villager newspaper today, you'll be able to get the content that is indicating that onboard and mentor local entrepreneurs. Onboard and mentor local entrepreneurs, Amutse tells oil operators. The Minister of Industries, Mines and Energy told, told the oil operators to say, mentor and capacitate Namibian entrepreneurs so that they can take part in that oil and gas industry. It's a very commendable advice, communique, particularly when it comes to the oil industry. There is a said at government block, if you want Polana, want to be Polanified, Polana elbow, 5 kg at 124.99. If you want Kadila mixed portions at 194.99. There is a caller on the line.
Good morning.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Fine.
Yes, please, 2 minutes, ne? So just 2 minutes, point. We don't have good time, so we want to look at the paper, please.
Oh, I want to look at the paper that you have already mentioned.
Yes, yes.
In the beginning, no problem. Yes, our boxing, I think for me, we sometimes expose them too early. We expose them to American boxer.
Oh.
Who are actually trained from the younger age. So then that is their living. For us, we only start boxing or in capture them into boxing when they are already in the employment. So when they are now training and you identify somebody there who is already grown up, put them in defense, put them in the police. And then that's how we start. But they will now box face people who have started from the ground.
I think it's a fair observation. And to them, boxing is their full time job.
It's their full time job. Somebody has the psychology or the coach or the areas. Everything is there. The fitness, everything is there. For us, after somebody has been employed, that's when now you take him. Maybe he's already 25. Now you are facing that person who has been trained from the younger age.
And I've heard that if somebody join a training of boxing at 18, he's too old. And I was shocked. I was shocked.
Very much.
Oh.
So starting with them at the academy, really, you know, at the, you know, so the Americans and all these other countries, they start grooming them from that age.
And when they are fighting you, they are very happy to fight you. Unlike you, you just want to win them, but they are very happy to be in the ring.
Exactly. Because they are still practice, they are going to practice on you. Yeah, so the one for the immigration and South Africa has identified phobia and things like that. We can then talk about it maybe at the next time.
All right. Thank you.
Good.
I think it's a fair observation. It's a fair observation to say in Namibia, we start boxing late and we are also not full-time boxers. I've seen somebody whose name is not going to be mentioned. That guy, I used to hear him beating people up in the ring. But I did not know that he was a taxi driver. But he's now doing very well in the boxing industry. But I hope that boxing should become a full-time. I see the government of Namibia really did well to accommodate most of our sport professionals into police, into correctional services, and into NDF. But believe me, you, even if they get the right to equipment, they are still full-time employed. But if you professionalize the sport coach in Namibia, and there are bodies that are able to pay these boxers, not only paid per fight, but having constant income, then people will become full-time boxing professionals. Do you think when a Brave Warriors player is coming from a 8 to 5 job and go to the training, Cristiano Ronaldo is already 8 hours ahead of this person, and you not catch up. You will never ever catch up. The same with boxing. Yeah, it's a bit. We are very much far, because people start playing soccer at the age of 7, under 17. I've seen last week, HD was covering a very interesting sport where you have SKW tournament. You see young kids playing soccer, and those are the future of Brave Warriors. I'm not saying the current Brave Warriors is not brave enough, but if we really want people, if you want to compete internationally, you can't compete. You start training at the age of 18. Somebody has been playing soccer since 7 years. How are we going to catch up? Because if I look at the I call him like a young boy who beat Geronimo. It's 2001. Jacob Beng taking down a Namibian boxer, our whole champion. And I was really shocked to see our whole boxers being knocked down. And I hope that that should send a message to sport institutions in Namibia and the ministry too, to say, apart from infrastructure, professionalization of sport codes must be prioritized so that, you know, so that at least Namibians will be able to compete internationally. It's not that we are not brave enough. It's only that you are a bit far. If you look at how they say, Nestor Tobias was saying, no, when Hitman joined boxing, I think he was under 20. I said he was old. That's already telling you that people must start when they are very young. Even psychological warfare, when these boys are going to the ring, the first thing they do is to intimidate you. You already start shivering, even if you are here well equipped. Imagine if you put the support there. You know, I look at American boxers and boxers from Mexico. When they come to the ring, they are very happy to meet you. Your job is, and from us from Africa, our job, the first job is to defend ourselves and maybe to win. You look at, Nesta was saying, who is this guy? Indongo. He fought one of the it was the greatest fight. It was never fought in Africa when he fought, is it Crawford, that unified you know, championship where you put all the belts in the ring. I think there were four belts there. But when he's meeting this champion, this one, they are very happy to meet him in the ring. But us, it's even intimidating to say those one, they cannot wait. Even at the press conference, they start already intimidating you. But they learn these things when they are very young to say, the first war that you have to win is a war of the mind before you go to the ring. But even imagine in Namibia, somebody is a taxi driver, from being a taxi driver, go to the gym, maybe committed to start winning in, but other person started, has already been in the gym 20 years ahead of him, and they are not going to catch up. That's why these guys are very young, and they are beating us up. They are sorting us out. Maybe we are beating our fellow Africans because we start at the same time. But the same is really something that we need to look at. Yeah, we'll continue with the conversation. You know, it's 8 o'clock, and Mike will join us. You know, after some minutes, and we'll continue with what is in the Villager newspaper. We can still look at the Villager newspaper, especially where we left, where the Big Mike will be able to join us from Andangwa, particularly after some times. Let us look at page 4 to say African Union failed to eliminate food insecurity in 2025. African Union set its target in 2014 to say, you know, this is how fast the years are moving. To say in 2025, there will be no hunger in Africa. Elimination of food insecurity. And everybody's going to eat. Everybody's going to have not only food, but a balanced diet. But what happened? Look at the numbers. It's not in thousands. It's in millions. It's stated that 307 million people. That is representing 20% of the sub-Saharan region. We are affected by hunger in 2025. And that is already indicating to you that we are falling behind, especially as a continent. If you look at food insecurity, you also look at silencing of guns. So look at the goals that we have of African unity. We are falling behind. The question is that what lesson can we learn from the plans that are not materializing? Because the problem in Namibia and Africa too is not about having a plan. Having a plan is not the problem. The problem is evaluation, what make you lose. It's the same thing to say, if our good boxer was beaten in Namibia, for example, then we continue to be beaten even when you go outside. What have we learned? If we have an economic game plan since NDP 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, what lesson have we learned from those NDP that we cannot repeat between 2025 and 2030? Because the problem is not the game plan. The plan, we have the plan. The problem is us continue doing the same thing, that there is always no relationship between what we say we want to do and what we do. That's why people are saying we must do what you say. We must not only not do it. Page 5, Aviation Week Africa tries to capture opportunities. Aviation Week Africa tries to capture opportunities. There is an article by my colleague Dwight Links that is looking at Aviation Week Africa, try to capture opportunities. You may also want to read it and look at the content of, you know, the article, especially looking at the field of aviation. And while we are here, at aviation, one may also want to ask, you know, there are things that I want to see. I want to see the return of stable transportation system in Namibia. That is number one, the aviation sector, and also the railways. Stable transportation system. See the other time, not the other time, I think last week, where the Minister of Transport was complaining about increment in the tax increment in the transportation fee, especially from using airlines, to say, how come I pay this amount of money, even larger than the amount of money we are traveling to South Africa, but we are traveling within the country. But let's hope that aspect of aviation will be handled. The thing that we want to see in 2030 is stable Namibia transportation system. We have done very well with roads. Namibia have best roads in Africa. We maintain that. We just don't utilize them properly, and we must really be blamed for that. We don't utilize them properly. We have best roads in Africa, and that is the best. I think that one is the only A star that you can give in terms of infrastructure. Other ranking you can give them. Best road infrastructure, but you want to see the transportation sector in terms of railways and aviation too, to say if Namibia Air is coming back with a different name from Namibia Airline, how are we going to sustain it? And also things that you want to see in 2030 is also at least 60% of what you have planned. Then you can take out that 40 of unforeseen circumstances. But if we come to 2030 and we are still arguing about who is doing what, about who did not do what, about corruption, about governance, it's not right. But it's also something that we should comment in Namibia also, to say, if you look at our SOEs, I think there is a level of movement that we see. The fight now is only at the local authority, but if you look at our SOEs, let's say that the fight is a bit quiet. Unlike those years where there was boardroom fight everywhere, CEO suspended, chairperson suspended. I think the current administration, if it's moving at that pace, maybe we can get our SOEs right. I think it's really a bit quiet, and that quietness, let's hope it's a quiet of good, not the quietness of come before the storm. I think it's a quietness of progress, to say, in terms of corporate governance, we really say that it's a bit quiet, and I think that should really be commented on that aspect. Yeah, looking at page 6, you'll see Valvetia University application for a postgraduate diploma in monitoring and evaluation. That is Valvetia University. Application fee $230 Namibian. Deadline for application is the 31st of May 2026. If you want to become a good researcher who does not only look at the numbers but also interpret what the numbers means, and also evaluate the process, if you want to evaluate the plans, study postgraduate diploma in monitoring and evaluation, so that you track progress. And a good monitoring and evaluation is a good speedometer that is indicating to you that you are traveling at a higher speed, or you are traveling at a lower speed, or you are not traveling at all, especially in terms of implementation of the plans and institutional goals. Yeah, we are going to a short commercial break, then we'll be able to communicate with the Big Mac to unpack the day. From me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around, and sharp.